We go? Okay. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, our Lord wanted his disciples to spread the message about him to the entire world. That would be a supernatural task that would require a supernatural power. So at the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus told his disciples this. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. In just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." And a few days later, after Jesus said this on the day of Pentecost, of course, this happened. This is recorded in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit indwelled his disciples. And ever since that day, every Christian who's ever been born again by the Spirit of God has been indwelled with God's Spirit. In the text above, Jesus promises followers, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And to be baptized with the Holy Spirit simply means to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to come actually to live inside of you. Now, unfortunately, there's some Christians teach that not all Christians are baptized by the Holy Spirit, but this is false. The biblical truth is that everyone who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ and is born again by the Spirit will be forever indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That's the biblical truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says this, "We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Don't let anybody tell you differently. The primary text for my message today will be Jesus' promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "You will receive power." That Greek word there for power is the same word we get dynamite from. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And my primary point today is that the power to live the supernatural Christian life comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen to this amazing statement from the Apostle John. Let's just talk about this amazing fact right up front here. God lives in us. What does John say? He says, "All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them." That's a phenomenal statement. All Christians have God living and dwelling inside of them. The Apostle Paul challenged all Christians and asked rhetorically, "Don't you realize that Jesus Christ lives in you?" And Jesus told all of his followers, he said, "You will. The time will come when you do realize that I am in you." Now, how does God the Father and God the Son actually live inside of us? Well, it's through the indwelling of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Paul again wrote, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you?" You see how Paul and Jesus are asking this question, "Don't you realize, don't you realize, you will realize?" It's because, gee, we just don't maybe think about this to really realize it. Wow, Christian, do you realize that God and Christ live in you because his Spirit lives in you? I just want you to take a moment and think about that. He's right here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is living right here in you. And I trust that you can feel his joy. You can feel his power in you. You know you're different. I remember the day the Holy Spirit came into my life when I got saved. Whoa. Christian, we understand the incredible gift that God has given us by coming to live inside of us through his Holy Spirit. Spiritually born-again Christians are the only humans on earth who have God living in them. This isn't true of anybody else. This is why the Bible describes Christians as being spiritually alive. We're the only ones that are spiritually alive, but the Bible describes everyone else in this world as being spiritually deaf, dead, and blind. Christian, because God has indwelled you with his Spirit, you are a different species of human being. It's that radical. It's that different. This is why Scripture says uniquely of Christians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." We're different. We're the only people walking around on this earth with God living inside of them. Which is why it is so important that God lives through us. Like all the persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is a person, but obviously a very powerful person living inside of you. This is why Jesus promised you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the primary point of this message is the power to live the supernatural Christian life comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So let's talk next about the power of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural power of the Spirit is demonstrated first by the fact that nothing can cause him to leave us. Nothing. He's God. Who's going to push him away? In Ephesians chapter 1, we say, when you believed in Christ, he put his seal on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. Once you are born again by God's Spirit, Christian, you are always born again. And again, there's Christians out there teaching differently. Don't listen to them. You can't lose the Holy Spirit, Christian. You just can't. Why is that? Well, because of what I said last week, nothing can separate you from God's love. Okay? Nothing in all of creation can separate you from God's love. As God continues to love you, he's not going to take his Spirit from you. Ever. This process is irreversible. Being born again by the Spirit is an irreversible process. Second, the supernatural power of the Spirit in you is demonstrated by the supernatural commands that God is expecting us to obey. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit is controlling you, he is controlling your heart and your mind, and you will be loving God with your heart and mind. That's the only way we can do that. The Apostle Peter described the supernatural Christian life that requires the Spirit's supernatural power when he wrote this. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God, who chose you, is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Wow. God expects us to be holy like he is holy. How is that possible? Only because the Holy Spirit of God can live through us and control us. That's the only way. I have an amazing command for you that is easily overlooked, but for me, this just blows my mind that the Apostle Paul said this. If anybody but an apostle said this, you'd call him a heretic. He wrote this in Ephesians, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Imitate God? Are you kidding? I'm just a human being. How can God expect mere humans like us to imitate God in everything we do? Of course, we can't create universes, okay? He's talking about our virtue, our morality. And it's because God lives in us. And if God's Spirit lives through us, we will imitate God. Do you understand that? That when the Holy Spirit of God is controlling you, Jesus Christ in you is controlling you, you are being Jesus to the world through your personality. Because the Holy Spirit of God is controlling you, you are imitating God. It's an amazing thing. Amazing. So think about this for a minute. Because Paul also encourages us there, imitate God and follow the example of Jesus Christ. Again, we think, how is that possible? How can we actually imitate Jesus Christ? God's expecting us to. Don't lower the standard for authentic Christianity, okay, to something mere humans can do, because a lot of people do that. Keep the standard up here. It's supernatural because you have a supernatural person living inside of you. So think about that for a moment. What would happen if Christ in you controlled your life? What would that feel like? What would it look like to have Jesus Christ living through you? For the perfect Jesus to be talking and thinking and feeling and acting through you. You would live and love like Jesus. Imagine living like Jesus for just the rest of this day, okay? Just today. You walk out of this church today, okay, I'm going to let the Spirit of God live through me, and I'm going to live like Jesus today. I'm going to imitate him. What would that be like? Just for one day. And then do it the next day. And the rest of your life. Christian, we've died. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's what Scripture says. The supernatural power of God's Spirit in us is demonstrated by the supernatural commands that God expects of us. Christian, God did not put these commands in Scripture to frustrate you because you cannot possibly do them, which is what some Christians think. God put these commands in Scripture because they tell you what is possible with the power and person of God's Spirit living in and through you. You can imitate God. You can follow the example of Jesus Christ. You can be holy, just like God's holy. The purpose of the Old Testament law was to show the spiritually dead how sinful they were. Okay? But the purpose of the supernatural New Testament law of Christ is to show those with God's Spirit how powerful they are. Accordingly, the apostle said, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Everything. Where would this strength from Christ come from? Well, again, it's from God's Spirit living through us. Christian, you are not only forgiven for all of the times you do not obey God's commands. Now, that's a wonderful gift. But that's not all he's given us. Because you are also empowered to fully obey those commands. He's not just forgiving you. God, your Father, has done more than just send his Son into the world to rescue you from the penalty of sin. He's done more than that. He has also sent his Spirit into you to rescue you from the power of sin. No one with only natural human power can obey the commands of God. But you, Christian, are not a natural human being. You have God living inside of you. You cannot be morally perfect every minute of every day. The Holy Spirit's never going to perfectly control us for reasons that I won't go into right now. We're just never going to completely believe in God's love for us with this old corrupt mind, okay? That's the reason. It just isn't going to happen. But Christian, I want to encourage us all, you can more consistently have the Spirit of God control you. More consistently. That's the goal. The powers of the Holy Spirit described as the fruits of the Spirit. We read in Galatians, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Unconditional love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I inserted the word unconditional to reflect the power of these fruits of the Spirit. These fruits and powers of the Spirit are the most important powers given to a Christian. I mean, we're kind of superheroes. We kind of have our own supernatural powers. We don't have the power to make trees wither and blind people see, okay? Like Jesus did. But we have the power to do what the Bible describes as even greater miracles. Jesus told disciples, you're going to do greater miracles than I do. And he wasn't talking about better healings. He was talking about supernatural love. God's Spirit controlling you gives you the power to imitate God and love people with unconditional, unstoppable love, no matter how people are treating you. Do you understand how miraculous that is? Normal human beings can't do that. That's Superman-like power. You have the power to be sincerely kind to your enemies and forgive the greatest wrongs committed to you, committed against you. You have the power to be fearless in every situation. You have the power to experience joy and peace no matter what is happening to you. You have the power with the Spirit's control, with that self-control, to control your emotions and actions and be the person you want to be. When God's Spirit is controlling you, then you have the power to imitate Jesus Christ in everything you do. Because he lives inside of us. He lives inside of us. And so we recognize how vital this is for the Christian life. This is why I call this one of the essentials of the essentials. Because what do you need to do to experience and do all that God wants for your life? One thing. The most important key to being the Christian God wants you to be is learning how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. The successful Christian life's that simple. By far, the most important factor in a happy and fulfilling marriage is two people experiencing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, you read a lot of Christian books on marriage. It doesn't talk about that a whole lot. It talks about communication techniques and personality profiles and all that. That can be wise stuff, but boy, it's two people living in the power and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes a happy marriage. The most essential requirement for being the parent you want to be, the employee you want to be, the church member you want to be, is being controlled by the love, the joy, the peace of the Holy Spirit of God living in you. That's the key. God never created any of life's responsibilities to be successful without the power of the Holy Spirit. Your marriage, your parenting, all of it. Christian, you will fail in everything in the Christian life if you are not controlled by God's Spirit. It's that simple. Therefore, one of the greatest promises that Jesus ever gave us is our primary text today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And our primary point today is that the power to live the supernatural Christian life comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. The truth about the Spirit's power in us brings up an important question. If God lives in me, then why don't I always experience his power? This is because of the war within you. Let's talk about that for a minute. The amazing fact is that only Christians have God living inside of them. But unfortunately, just because God lives in you through his Spirit does not mean he always lives through you or controls you. A lot of Christians miss this too. I mean, I've talked to pastors who they just assume that because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, he's going to control you. It doesn't work that way. The sad fact is that God's Spirit can dwell inside of you, but you can still sin. Even though God's Spirit lives in you, you can live just like any other human being who's not supernatural at all. And this is a great, great tragedy, Christian. We have God living inside of us, but we keep him inside of us. He doesn't get out to impact the people in the world around us. Wow, what a waste. What a waste. So why is this happening? Well, because even Christians still have what the Bible calls a sinful nature. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. There's a command there. Let the Holy Spirit control your life, Paul says. What will happen if that happens? Well, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, I like how the NLT puts it. These two forces are constantly fighting each other inside of you, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions, what you really want to do for God. You're not completely free to do it. You will be one day when we get our new bodies and we don't have this sinful nature in our mind anymore. We don't have that freedom right now. This is describing the greatest and most important battle in your life. Right here. It's happening right in here. Well, maybe more specifically right here. Because God's Spirit lives in you, your new spiritual heart wants to obey God and you hate sin. That's what you want. If you had the freedom to never sin again, you wouldn't. But because your mind has been programmed with a sinful nature through this world, through your life before you became a Christian, we're still tempted, sorely tempted to sin. And this is the battle we face every moment of every day. If you're going to live a life that pleases and glorifies God, you must win this war within you. So again, just because God's Spirit lives in you does not mean he is always controlling you. And this is why the Bible commands us elsewhere. Don't be drunk with wine because you will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit, again, is abused in the church today, confuses people. Listen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit simply means to be controlled by him. It's contrasted with being influenced by being drunk with alcohol. That's why Paul writes it that way. And so it just simply means being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And here's another command. for us to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, because it's not automatic, Christian. It's not automatic. So let's look again at Galatians 5:17 here. It says, these two forces, spirit or sin, are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So notice something very important here. There are only two forces that can control your life. It's that simple, sin or the spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where it says there's a third option here. Sin or the spirit. There's nothing neutral in between. Every waking minute of every day, you are either controlled by your sinful nature or the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes no other options right now. As you're listening to this message right now, you are being controlled by either your sinful nature or the Holy Spirit. Right now. Every minute of every day. Which one is it? This is why this amazing statement in verse 16 is true. Paul wrote there, we just read it, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you see it? If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be controlled by the sinful nature. It just isn't going to happen. There's only two options. However, the opposite is true as well, isn't it? Whenever the sinful nature is controlling you, then God's Spirit, even though it's in you, isn't controlling you. And you'll be sinning. So here's another important question. How do you know when you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit? Wow, that's a vitally important question. You are experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. It's that simple. That's how you know. In the same passage, again, Paul wrote, we already read this, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, the ability to control ourselves from sin. So when you're experiencing these things, and when they are controlling you, you know that God's Spirit is controlling you, okay? I think the most obvious fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is experienced differently by people. More emotional people experience joy in the more obvious ways, with smiling and laughing and feeling happy. Less emotional people experience joy as more of a feeling of contentment and gratitude. A little more quiet about it. But it's also a feeling of happiness within them, that contentment, that gratitude. That's the Spirit of God working in you with His joy to make you feel happy. Christian, biblically speaking, the Holy Spirit can be described as the happy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is controlling you, His joy will make you feel happy. And in the way that you experience happiness. And I think that's the most observable, most detectable attribute of the Holy Spirit controlling you is His joy. Because when you lose that, you know you've lost the Spirit and Him controlling you, okay? So, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. How do you know when your sinful nature is controlling you? Again, verse 17 gives us a clue. Paul says, the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. What are desires? Well, they're controlling feelings, aren't they? That's what a desire is, a feeling that you want to do something. What feelings and desires are controlling you tells you whether the Spirit or sin is controlling you. So how do we know if the sinful nature is controlling us? Well, what are the opposites of the desires and feelings produced by the Spirit's love, joy, and peace? Well, the opposites of feeling love include feeling jealous, uncaring towards others, selfish, apathetic, unmotivated to really help or serve people. That's not the Spirit. That's the sinful nature. The opposite of feeling the Spirit's joy is feeling frustrated, complaining. Oh my goodness, guys, when you feel yourself either in your head or with your mouth, you're complaining about something in your life or another person, boom, it should hit you. Whoops, I've lost him. He's not controlled. I've been disconnected from the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me right now because I'm grumbling and complaining. Whew. It happens so easily. We slip right out of His power. So feeling frustrated, discouraged, or depressed, that's not the Spirit of God living through you. The opposite of feeling the Spirit's peace, of course, is anxiety and worry and fear. That's all coming from your sinful nature. Notice I am describing these fruits of the Spirit as feelings. And I get pushback on that when I teach this in other places. It just doesn't sound spiritual enough to people. But no one can deny that the fruits of the Spirit, like joy and peace, are feelings. They're emotions. And this is a vital truth that many Christians do not understand, because many Christians believe that our feelings just don't matter. Our feelings don't matter in the authentic Christian life, and that is another lie. Because God Almighty Himself created you with feelings. God Himself has very powerful feelings. Have you read the prophets recently? God's more emotional than most of us are. So He created us that way. But God created us with these feelings, like the compassion of love and joy and peace of the Holy Spirit, for us to imitate Him and glorify Him. That's the purpose of those feelings. And so we come to a remarkable fact that many Christians do not understand. How do you know if the spirit or sin is controlling you? The answer is this: how do you feel? That's how you know. What emotions are controlling you tells you whether the spirit or sin is controlling you. Do you know how many Christians don't even recognize worry as a sin? Don't even recognize grumbling, complaining as a sin? Do not even recognize frustration as a sin? We just let it go right by us, and we live in it all day long. We wake up this way, we just spend all day like this, and we waste an entire day not letting God, who lives in us, live through us. Because we just think that worry, frustration, discouragement is all the normal Christian life. What a lie. What a powerful lie. If you're feeling love, compassion, joy, happiness, peace, confidence, and contentment, you know God's Spirit is controlling you. If you're being controlled by anger or shame or guilt, discouragement, anxiety, then you know the sinful nature is controlling you in that moment. The fruits of being controlled by God's Spirit are supernatural love, joy, and peace. And when you are feeling those virtues and being controlled by them, then Christian, you know you are winning your most important battle in your life. Okay? The one between God's Spirit and your sinful nature inside of you. You know you're winning when you're feeling love, joy, and peace. Jesus has promised us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And our primary point today is that the power to live the supernatural Christian life comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not just Him living inside of you, being controlled by Him. And so finally we come to some practical action steps today on these things. How do I live in the power of God's Spirit? How do I do that? I want to tell you. And I answer this question is the subject of a lot of the Christian Essentials discipleship courses, because this is so incredibly important. This is because of my primary point. The power to live the supernatural Christian life, it comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God in us. So anyone who is teaching or discipling Christians needs to put a priority on teaching them how to be controlled by God's Spirit. And I don't see a lot of that teaching in American Christianity today. But it is the most important key to living the Christian life. There's so much I could say here, and what I will say will not be complete, okay? All I will do in this message is to tell you the first few steps to overcoming our sinful nature and living in the power of God's Spirit. Because if you do not even do these basic steps, you will fail. And these three steps, I'd say, are recognize, rebel, and refocus. I put it that simply. Recognize, rebel, and refocus. First, continually recognize what is controlling you. Christians don't do this. Notice at the beginning of your day and throughout your day if the spirit or sin is controlling you. I check my heart constantly throughout the day. I check my heart at the beginning of every day. When I wake up, I'm still in bed. I check my heart. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. Guard, the Hebrew there can mean watch over. Watch over your heart above all else. I mean, Solomon's saying, hey, I'm telling you something, there's nothing more important than this. Above all else, watch over your heart, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your day. What comes from your heart is what will determine what kind of life you have. And again, even what kind of day you're going to have. What desires and feelings are coming from your heart? Are you feeling love, joy, peace, and power to please and glorify God? Is that what you're feeling and experiencing right now? Or are you feeling angry, frustrated, discouraged, and worried? God wants us to monitor these things so we can recognize when we are not living in the power of God's Spirit in us. This is one of the greatest mistakes that Christians make, is failing to recognize throughout the day whether sin or the Spirit is controlling them. They just don't pay attention. And many Christians, again, have lived under the power of anger and worry and frustration and discouragement for so long, they believe these sinful feelings are part of the normal Christian life. No, they're not. That is not why God put His Spirit in you, Christian. That is not why we alone, out of all the people living on this earth, have God living in us, is to live just like they are. Frustrated, discouraged. That isn't why He put His Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you're going to have any chance of winning that war within you, you must first recognize when you are losing the war. And this is often as simple as recognizing when you're feeling anxious or angry or discouraged, okay? Second, you must rebel against these sinful feelings if you're of your sinful nature. You got to rebel. You got to fight. You must stop tolerating the control of sin in your life. Stop making excuses for your worry, for your anger, for your apathy. Stop making excuses for it. Stop blaming your circumstances. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming your children. There are no excuses, Christian, because you have God living inside of you. He removed all excuses when He did that. And the other thing is because God loves us. My previous message, these two things. Christian, we have no excuse. God always loves us, and God always lives inside of us. Whoa, what are we complaining about? Why are we discouraged? Why do we care what that other person said to us or did to us? Why do we care that this pain is in my body, or I'm missing some money that I really want to have, or whatever else? Why do we care? God loves you and He lives inside of you. Listen, instead of tolerating your anger and your worry and your discouragement, you need to fight them. It is time to declare war on your sinful, God-hating, people-hating, angry, worried, and depressed parts within you. Declare war. Do you know that in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's only one place where God allows you to be violent, Christian. He even commands you to be violent. One place. Colossians 3, 5 and Romans 8. Put to death. I mean murder. The sinful earthly things lurking within you. Put it to death. No matter what it takes. So let us stop tolerating these things in our life and rebel against them whenever we recognize them, because God loves us and He lives in us. We have no excuses. Finally, how do you overcome your anger and your worry and your lust and your discouragement? How do you change from being controlled by your sinful nature instead of God's Spirit? You got to refocus on the truth of God's love for you. Sound familiar? We're back to last week's message, aren't we? Let me repeat something I said in my message last week. When those deceived parts of your heart are controlling us, we are not believing, experiencing, and feeling God's love for us. In those times, our sinful nature is controlling us instead of God's love and God's Spirit. Again, it's that simple. But when the parts of your heart and mind that do believe in God's love are controlling us, Then we will experience and feel God's love for us and be controlled by God's love and God's Spirit. It's that simple. So when you recognize your sinful nature controlling you, rebel against it. First recognize it, rebel against it, and refocus on the simple truth that God loves you. Notice the relationship between experiencing the Spirit's peace and focusing on God's love and this amazing promise from the book of Isaiah. The Bible says of God, you will keep in perfect, supernatural peace. Where's that going to come from? It's going to come from God's Spirit. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. That's believing in his love. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Do you see the formula here? You focus on God's love for you no matter what's happening to you. And that'll help you as you refocus for the Spirit of God to be energized within you. Why does focusing your thoughts on God's love result in experiencing God's Spirit? Because of a very simple and powerful truth that, again, you may have never heard before. But it's just this simple, it's just true. Believing the truth turns on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Believing lies turns on the power of the sinful nature. You may think, that's so simple. But as I go around teaching, most Christians don't understand this. I don't really get it. They should understand this. But this is the difference. This is the difference. Every time you sin, it is because you are believing a lie. Every time you experience the love, joy, and peace, power, and holiness of the Holy Spirit, it is because in that moment you are believing and experience the truth about God's love for you. That's how we work. This is one of the most vital things to understand about the Christian life. This is another reason that believing in God's love for you is the most important thing in your life, because it is the only way that God's Spirit is going to control your life, is believing and experiencing God's love for you. One more verse here at the relationship between trusting in God and experiencing the Holy Spirit is from Paul, Romans 15. I love this verse. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. How that's going to happen? Again, the Holy Spirit of God controlling you. Will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. You're believing and experiencing his love for you. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul understood this connection. And it's so vital that we do. Believing and experiencing God's love engages God's Spirit to control you so that you feel his love, joy, and peace. Believing God's promises about you unleashes God's power within you. I'm going to say that again. That's a lot of theology right there. Believing God's promises about you unleashes God's power within you. When you are believing and experiencing God's love for you, you will experience the Spirit's love for others. When you are focused on all of God's blessings, like we talked about last time, your heart is connected to God's Spirit and his unstoppable joy. When you are trusting in the promises of God, the Spirit's peace will control you no matter what else is happening to you. Here's a saying I have. Christian, you can worry about your life or you can worship God, but you cannot do both at the same time. You can't. Because believing and focusing on the truth of God's love for you turns on the power of God's Spirit in you. So as I said, these are some beginning and basic truths about personal spiritual warfare and how to overcome the power of sin in our life and experience God's Spirit more. Recognize, rebel, and refocus. In the fruit study of the Christian Essentials, you will learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in the freedom study part of the Christian Essentials, you will learn and experience more about overcoming the power of sin in your life. But begin now, Christian, to recognize, rebel, and refocus to overcome sin. Get better at recognizing when you are feeling the sinful nature's worry, anger, frustration, boredom, or discouragement. Recognize it. then commit to rebelling against these sinful feelings. Stop making excuses for sin in your life. Because you have God living inside of you and He loves you. And then refocus in that moment on praising God for His love for you and His blessings and His promises and all of His these amazing things He's done for us to demonstrate His love for us. Refocus. You've lost focus. You've taken your eyes off of Him. Just like the Apostle Peter walking across that water, as long as he was looking at Jesus, he had power. Then he started looking at the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. We'll do the same. Christian, keep fighting against your sinful nature. This is the calling we have on this earth. That battle is going to end someday, but right now, we're right in the middle of it. Every day, right here. Keep fighting to experience God's Spirit living through you. Let Him live through you. Your life means nothing. Only when God is living through you does your life really matter. And do you do anything good for anybody else? Only when Jesus Christ is living through you. And all, keep fighting for your joy. Okay? That's one of the reasons that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and sent His Spirit to live in you, so that you, even on this wicked, miserable earth, can experience joy all the time. Don't waste that. Fight, fight, fight for your joy, Christian. And all of this is because God loves you and He lives inside of you. As Jesus promised, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And our primary point today is that the power to live the supernatural Christian life comes from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, take a few minutes here, 3 minutes. Talk to the person next to you. What was most meaningful to you today about today's message, okay? And I want to hear it. I want to hear you talking. Talk to somebody.